Today, I want to discuss an issue that's not only an American issue. Actually, I'm not even going to discuss any or explore and study any American rabbinic sources on the topic, but it is a topic that's very relevant in American conversions, but not only in American conversions. And that is the question about whether the men rabbis, the Beit Din, should be present in the mikvah room when a woman immerses in the mikvah. And I want to start backwards. We're going to look at all the sources and see what the tradition is. But I'll tell you that before there were some problematic stories, the general tradition or custom was that the three rabbis would be in the mikvah room when the woman immersed, and the woman either would be wearing a bathrobe, or they now have like a black sheet that goes over the mikvah water so that you can't see the woman immersed. All you can see is her head going down. That was the tradition. Over the past 10 to 12 years, that tradition has been called into question because of some things that happened in which the idea of men being in the mikvah room when a woman immerses in the mikvah was seen as being immodest. We'll come back to the situation today at the end. What I want to do today is I want to study the sources. Basically, what I want to do is I want to learn with all of you. Let's learn together. And let's talk about the history, the rabbinic history of immersion in the mikvah and the role of the male Beit Din in the immersion. First of all, the conversion process takes place in front of a Beit Din. The reason it takes place in front of a Beit Din, that's interesting. Marriage takes place in front of two witnesses. But the Gemara says that a conversion takes place in front of a Beit Din of three people. Are those people men or women? So the Shulchan Aruch says that Dayanim, judges, rabbinic judges, have to be men. Now, some of you may say that we have an old tradition that Devorah, v'hi shofetet et Yisrael, Devorah, the story in Shoftim, she was a shofetet, she was a judge. And Tosfos asked that question. But lahalacha, we say that judges need to be male judges. So you need three male judges. What are the pieces of the conversion process? So there are three pieces of the conversion process. The first piece of the conversion process is Kabbalat HaMitzvot, acceptance of the commandments. The convert needs to say, I accept all of Jewish law. I accept the God of Israel to the exclusion of all other gods, and I reject the belief in all other religions. And you have to tell them about anti-Semitism. Kabbalat HaMitzvot. As we've seen over the past 5 weeks, Kabbalat HaMitzvot does not mean that you have to observe all the commandments. It just means you have to accept the validity of the commandments. If you were to convert but say that I think that Shatnez is stupid, right? I think Shatnez doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, Chutz Midavar Echad, that there would be a problem with your conversion, which is also fascinating. But generally speaking, most people or everybody is willing to accept the mitzvot broadly speaking. And that is what we call Kabbalat HaMitzvot. You need a Beit Din for Kabbalat HaMitzvot. You need a rabbinic court, three judges, to witness the Kabbalat HaMitzvot. For a man, you need a Beit Din to witness the bris or the hatafat dam brit. For someone who is circumcised already, it's what we call a hatafat dam brit, which is taking a little bit of blood. That needs to be witnessed by the Beit Din. Again, that's its own discussion for next set of lectures. Do the rabbis actually have to see the bris? They just have to know that it's happening? That's a good question for another time. And the third step is the mikvah. The rabbis need to see the convert immerse in the mikvah. And the question is, do the rabbis actually have to be in the room when, in the mikvah room, when the convert immerses in the mikvah? And that's what I want to study together with you. And let's start at the beginning. Let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara two Gemaras that I want to look at today. The first Gemara is a Gemara in Maseches Yevamot. The Gemara talks about the conversion process in Yevamot. The translation here is the Sfaria translation. Avdei de Rabbi Chiya bar Ami, the servant, the slave of Rabbi Chiya bar Ami, Atzbalei lehahi goya, he immersed a certain Gentile woman. Probably means he told a certain Gentile woman to immerse in the mikvah. L'shem in tita, so that she could have, so he could have sexual relations with her. So their slave wanted the Gentile woman to immerse so that he could have sexual relations with her. And there it's nothing to do with conversion. It had to do with the fact that she was a Nida. And so to purify her from her menstrual impurity, he wanted her to go to the mikvah. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Yachilna le'achshure ba ubebarte. Says Rabbi Yosef, I can make her and her daughter, means the daughter that will be born, fit to marry a Jew. The Avdei de Rav Chiya, of course, is a Jewish slave. So the Jewish slave wants to have relations with the Gentile woman. And so he has her go to the mikvah so that she won't be a Nida. And Rabbi Yosef says, I actually can say that the woman who goes to the mikvah is Jewish and that her daughter is also Jewish. But she, the woman, is considered to be Jewish, kid Rabbi Asi, according to the opinion of Rabbi Asi. De Amar Rabbi Asi says, Milo Tavla Liniduta. Rabbi Asi says that a woman whose status as a convert is unclear, we say about her, Milo Tavla Liniduta. Did she immerse for as a Nida? And since she immersed as a Nida, we can count that immersion as a Nida as an immersion for conversion. And therefore she's Jewish. Bibarte, her daughter, Goy Vevet, Haba, Al Bas Yisrael, Havlad Kosher. So her daughter's okay because if the Eved sleeps with a Jewish woman, so as long as the mother is Jewish, the child is kosher. Okay, means the child can marry and means it's matrilineal descent. So what is this Gemara? What is this Gemara? This is a very interesting Gemara because this little Gemara tells us the following story. This little Gemara tells the story about somebody who wants to sleep with a non-Jewish woman. He has her go to the mikvah. Doesn't seem like he cares whether she's Jewish or not. But Rabbi Yosef says that she's Jewish because she went to the mikvah. Didn't she go to the mikvah to purify herself from her menstrual cycle? And since she went to the mikvah as a Nida, so therefore that also counts to make her Jewish. That also counts to make her Jewish. Now that's an amazing Gemara, everybody, because that Gemara suggests, and we'll see, it's not absolutely clear that that's what it means, but that Gemara suggests that a woman who goes to the mikvah as a nida, that would count as a immersion for conversion. Now that's interesting for two reasons. Reason number one that's interesting is because what? Reason number one that that's interesting is because
there's no men with a nida.
There's no what?
There's no men.
Correct. So the first thing is she doesn't need intention to go to the mikvah as a convert. That number one. But for our purposes, if she goes to the mikvah as a nida, then she goes to the mikvah as what? As a she goes to the mikvah by herself. There are no men in the mikvah. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yosef says that that conversion works as a conversion for, as that immersion works as an immersion for conversion. Okay? Amazing. That immersion works as an immersion for conversion. Sounds like you do not need men in the mikvah watching her. Milo tavla linidusa. If she goes to the mikvah even as a nida, that immersion counts for conversion. That's Gemara number one that seems to suggest that you do not need men in the mikvah. Maybe preferably you should have men in the mikvah, but you do not need men in the mikvah. And now another Gemara. The second Gemara. The second Gemara says the following. Isha tells you how to convert women. Nashib moshivot ota bimayin ad tzavara. Women appointed by the court, says Sfaria, put her in the water up to her neck. Ushnei talmidei chachamim omdim la mi bachutz. And two rabbis stand outside. Umodianosa miktas mitzvos kalos, umiktas mitzvos chamuros. And they tell her, you know, they inform her of some of the lenient mitzvos and some of the strict mitzvos. They tell her to be mekabel the mitzvos, to accept the commandments. So what do you see from that, Gemara? That Gemara talks about when men are there. First of all, it talks about two men rather than three men. Assume that was a different tradition. They had only two men. We use three men. But what do you see from that Gemara? Where do the men stand? Mi bachutz. They stand outside. And the women are the ones who put her in the mikvah until her neck. The men speak to her from the other side of the door, but the men are not in the room. Two amazing Gemaras. Gemara number one sounds like men don't have to be there at all. That a tefillah, that an immersion for the sake of nida counts for conversion. The second Gemara says that even if you have men around, even if you have a betin around, that the men stand mibachutz. Okay? Those are the two Gemaras. What's the issue with Gemaras? Not every Gemara is halacha, meaning that not every Gemara is accepted as determining the legal mode of conduct. Sometimes a Gemara can tell a story, but we say we don't follow that story. That story is not the halacha. Also, sometimes you find that a story or a quote from the Gemara is reinterpreted by the codes. In this case, what I want to show you is how the Rambam, Maimonides, in his code, understands these two Gemara. Okay, obviously, okay, so of course you can't paskin from a Gemara. Of course not. But what I want to show you is, what do the codes say about this Gemara? Do the codes paskin from this Gemara? So I'm going to tell you what you all know already. And that is the Rambam wrote a code called the Mishneh Torah. But the Rambam's code of the Mishneh Torah is actually also a commentary on the Gemara. You can tell from the way the Rambam quotes a Gemara how he understood the Gemara. That actually was a huge contribution of the Soloveitchik family, what we call the Briskers today, that started in Lithuania about the end of the 1800s. They said that when you study the Rambam, when you study Maimonides, don't only study him as a code, but study him as a commentary on the Gemara. Study him as, and understand, how does he understand the Gemara? And that's what I want to look at today. Let's look at two Rambams, and let's see how the Rambam understands the Gemara. Here, let's join everybody, and let's learn together. So here we go. So, first Rambam. Gioret Sheri'inuha Noheget Bidarche Yisrael. A convert who we see is acting like a Jewish woman. Tamid, all the time. Kagon Shetitbol in Nidata. She goes to the mikveh every month. V'tafrish truba meisata, and she takes truba from her dough. V'chayotze bazeh, and other similar examples. V'chein ger, and so to a convert, a male convert. Shenoheg b'darchei Yisrael, he also acts like a Jew. Shetovel l'kerio, he also goes to the mikvah. V'yoseh kol ha-mitzvos, he does the mitzvos, he puts on tefillin, he davens three times a day. Harei elu v'chezkas yerei tzedek. You can assume that they converted properly. Even though there are no witnesses, they lost their certificate. There are no witnesses to say how they converted or in front of whom do they convert. But you can assume if they're acting like Jews, that they converted properly. Because if they didn't convert properly, why are they acting like Jews? Nevertheless, Israel, but if they want to marry, they can't marry a Jew until they bring witnesses. Or until they go to the mikveh again, because we assume that they are not Jewish. So we accept them as, if they act like Jews, we accept them as Jews. Means they can count them for a minion. But and the woman's food, if she cooks food, you can accept it as kosher food. But if she wants to marry into the Jewish people, that's not allowed. For that, she needs to bring witnesses that she converted, or she has to bring a certificate, or she has to go to the mikveh again. Okay, how does the Rambam know that? Where does the Rambam know that someone who acts Jewish, we assume that they're Jewish? How does he know that? The answer is, the Rambam knows it from the first Gemara, but he learns the Gemara a little bit differently than the way we learned the Gemara. Avdei de Rabbi Chiya bar Ami, the slave of Rabbi Chiya bar Ami, at bilal lehahi goyel l'shem intita. He made this woman immerse for the purpose of nida. Amar Rabbi Yosef, yachil no lach shurei bo barte. I can say that they're Jewish, that we consider them Jews. Kidder Rabasi, like Rabasi says. Mi lo tavla liniduta. Didn't she go to the mikvah as a nida? So listen carefully. We explain that Gemara to mean mi lo tavla liniduta. Didn't she go to the mikvah as a nida? And since she went to the mikvah as a nida, we can count that conversion. We can count that immersion, as if it's not only for nida, but it's also for conversion. Milo tavla nidituta. Since she immersed for nida, it's good for conversion. The Rambam doesn't learn that line that way. He says, the Amar Rav Asi, Milo tavla liniduta. She's Jewish. How do we know she's Jewish? Because she goes to the mikveh every month. Since she goes to the mikveh every month, it must be that she's Jewish. That's what he says. He says, Giyoresh Yerayinuha no heget bedarcha Yisrael tabit. So we assume that she's Jewish. She can't marry into the Jewish people, but we assume that she's Jewish. Now, what does that mean? First of all, in learning, that's an interesting thing. We have a Gemara. The Gemara said, quote of Asi, who says, Umilo tavla leniduta. Didn't she go to the mikvah for her nida status? We took that to mean that she went to the mikvah for another reason, but it counts for her conversion. The Rambam, and that's what I told you, the Rambam is so fantastic because the Rambam often learns Gemaras differently than the way we learn Gemaras, than the way, the obvious way to learn Gemaras, the way Rashi learns the Gemara. The Rambam learns it differently. Mi lo tavla leniduta. She goes to the mikveh every month. So it must be that she's Jewish. Not that this immersion counts for conversion, but it must be that she's Jewish because if we see her going to the mikveh every month, she must be Jewish. So, point number one, the Rambam explains our Gemara in a way where our Gemara no longer is a proof that men don't need to be in the mikveh. We thought that Gemara meant Milo Tavla the Niduta. Didn't she immerse for the sake, she immersed to be for Nida, but it works for conversion even though men aren't there. The Rambam says, no, that's not what it means. She converted beforehand in front of men. All the immersion for Nida does is prove that she's Jewish. So the Rambam has a twist, but that twist is very important because actually that twist negates that Gemara as being a proof that the men don't have to be in the room. Okay? So one Gemara down, according to the Rambam. Now, what about the second Gemara? The second Gemara seemed to say that the two men stand mi bachutz, outside. What does the Rambam do with that Gemara? So now I'm going to show you something else cool. So what does the Rambam say? Next piece. Says the Rambam, Ushlosha omdim al gabav, and three men stand over him. Umodinoso mitzas mitzvos kalos, umitzas mitzvos chamuros, pamshnia. Right? You have to remind him of the mitzvos right before he immerses in the mikvah. Vihu omeid bamayim. And he stands in the water. Vim haita isha. And if it's a woman, nashim moshivoto ta bamayim ad sabara. Right? That's what we saw. The women put her in the water. V'hadayanim mibachutz, and that's exactly what the Gemara said. V'hadayanim mibachutz, the judges are outside. Umodianota mitzas mitzvos kalos v'chamuros, and from outside they tell her of the mitzvos. V'hiyosheves b'mayim, and she sits in the water. V'acharkach tovelet bifneihem, and then she immerses. Bifnehem is male, is masculine. She's immerses in front of the men. Vehein machzirim pinehem, and they turn around. Viyotzim, looks like they see her immerse, then they turn around and they leave. Kidei shelo yiru otah kishetale min hamayim. So they will not see her when she gets out of the water. Now the Rambam here has a whole different story. The Rambam here says that actually, right, so we saw the Gemara. The Gemara says that the women put her in the mikvah and the men stand mibachutz, the men stand outside. And they tell her the mitzvos from outside. And that's our Gemara ends there. The Rambam, for a reason that is not clear, doesn't end there. The Rambam goes on with the story, and the Rambam says the rest of the story is as follows. that the women put her in the mikvah, the men stand outside. Then before the woman immerses in the mikvah, the men come inside. So she immerses in front of the men. Then they turn around. Only after she immerses, they turn around. So they won't see her when she gets out of the mikvah. They seem to be, they see her in the mikvah, but they don't see her when she gets out of the mikvah. That's a wow, everybody. Because it's a wow for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's a wow because the Rambam seems to make this up, right? We had the Gemara, we quoted the Gemara, and the Gemara explicitly said that she does not have to, that the men, sorry, are mibachutz. The men don't see her immersed in the mikvah. The Rambam adds a whole other story. Now, whether or not the Rambam made it up, or whether the Rambam had another source that we don't know, that's always a question in Rambam. You never really know the answer when it comes to Rambam. Did he have a real source? Did he not? Did he make it up? You never really know. Doesn't matter. Rambam's Rambam. If the Rambam quotes it, we need to take it seriously. So the Rambam said the men need to be in the mikvah. So we had two Gemaras. One Gemara said the men can be outside. The next Gemara said that men may not even need to be in the room at all. The Rambam re-explains the Gemara that says that we don't need a betin. He re-explains that Gemara about her immersing for Nida. And the Gemara that says that the men stand outside, that Gemara, he says, is not right either. That's only that they stand outside when they give her the mitzvos, when they tell her the mitzvot. But when she immerses, they are inside the mikvah. The Rambam clearly has a different picture of what immersion means. According to the Rambam, immersion of converts absolutely requires three men in the mikvah. The Gemara doesn't say that. But like you said, we don't paskin from Gemaras. The Rambam has a different view. The Rambam believes that three men need to be in the mikvaru. And he explains away each of the Gemaras. The Gemaras didn't mean what we thought they meant. The men need to be in the mikvaru. A minute for questions. Any questions up to this point?
Yes, I want you to the way it sounds like is that the Beit Din, the three men have to be in there, but the women put her in the mikvah, so she emerges. The men don't actually see her naked either in the beginning or the end. They only see her in the water with her head
good covered. I'm okay with that. Okay? And maybe you assume that they couldn't see her in the water. I'm okay with that. But they're definitely in the mikvah room when she immerses. What they see, you're right. The Rambam suggests that they don't see much when she's in the mikvaru, but they're definitely in the mikvaru. One more question. Any other questions? Okay. So the person who chatted before and says we don't paskin from Gemaras, we don't determine the halacha from Gemaras. Actually, I would say to you, not only don't we determine halacha from Gemara, we actually don't determine halacha from Rambam either. Because the Rambam was not our code that we follow. For whatever historical reasons, the Rambam was followed only in Sephardic countries, and then only in a limited number of Sephardic countries. Eventually, the Rambam was really the code only in Yemen. Our halacha is based on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the code of Jewish law of Rabbi Yosef Karo, that was written in the middle of the 1500s, around the year 1550. And the glosses, the Ashkenazi glosses written by Rav Moshe Isserles in Krakow, just about the same time. That's a fascinating topic. I'm sure that you've covered that topic in Torah in Motion. But for our purposes, what we need to see is, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? The Gemara seems to suggest that the men don't need to be in the mikvah room. The Rambam seems to say explicitly that the men do have to be in the mikvah room. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say, everybody? Let's go to the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Kol inyane hager, all matters relating to converts. Bein lahodio ha-mitzvot lekabla. Both in terms of letting him know the commandments. Bein hamila, and the circumcision. Bein hatfila, and the immersion. Tsarich sheyiyu begimel haksherim ladon. It has to be in front of three men. Uvayo, and during the day. Mihu, however, davka lichatchila. That only applies lichatchila. That is only preferential. That's only the preference. Aval bidyevet. However, if it happened, imlomal otaval ella bifne beis o krovim. If he had a mila or immersed only in front of two people, uvalaila and at night, afilu, okay, so, bidyeved, in the second case, meaning not ideally but accepted, if he or she goes to the mikvah or has a bris in front of only two people, afilu lo tava l'shem gerus, even if the intention is not for the purpose of conversion, ela isha tava l'kerio v'isha shetava l'nidasa, a man went to immersed because of an omission, the isha shetavlan l'nidasa, and a woman immersed as a nida, heve ger. He or she is a convert. So preferably, they should convert in front of three people. But if they converted in front of two, and or they didn't convert with the intention of converting, nevertheless, it's still good. Umutar be Yisraelis, and he would be, and the man would be allowed to marry a Jewish woman. Chutz mikabalas ha-mitzvos, with the exception of the requirement to accept the mitzvos. Sheba akeves imeno bayom uvishlosha. If it's not done in front of three and in front of three and during the day. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch kind of has a middle position. He says that preferably she should immerse in front of three, but if she immersed in front of two, even if the immersion was for a different purpose, then that would be good enough. Now, it seems from here as if the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the first Gemara, that she doesn't have to immerse for the purpose of conversion. The Isha Shetavla L'Nidata, it's good enough if she immerses as a Nida, that'll count for conversion. But even that immersion for Nida seems to be that it has to be in front of two, right? The Shulchan Aruch says that even that has to be in front of two. Okay. Ula rif ula ramba mafilu b'dieved shetaval umal bifnei shnayim obalayla ma'ake. And the Rambam and the rif, we saw the Rambam says that you need three men. The aser b'Yisraelis, aval nasi Yisraelis, v'holi menu ben lo paslinon le, but the child would be okay. So what do we have here? Always to make things a little bit more exciting, we have a middle opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. The middle opinion in the Shulchan Aruch is that preferably she should go to the mikvah. He and she, the gerim, should go to the mikvah in front of a bezdin of three, a court of three men. But b'dieved, if they did it, so a court of two is good enough. And even if she didn't intend to convert. So number one is we see that if she didn't intend to convert, nevertheless, the conversion works. But the Shulchan Aruch seems to still require at least two people there. So the question is exactly what the role of those two people is. If what you need is a bet din, if you need is a court, then what good is two people? They give testimony. But what kind of testimony is that exactly? Is it halachic? Is it legal testimony? Or is it just to tell you exactly what happened? So what do we have? We're in the 1500s. We only have 500 years to go. We're in the 1500s. We have a Shulchan Aruch that says that the woman can convert by immersing, even if her intention is not for immersing, not for conversion, sorry. But it seems to be that Shulchan Aruch wants two men, but we're not exactly sure what the purpose of the two men is. Now, this issue has been discussed on and off over the centuries. But the most important tshuva that discusses this topic is actually a tshuva that was written by the first Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel, Rabbi Ben Sion Uziel. Rabbi Ben Sion Uziel, he was the Sephardic chief rabbi of what they call Mandate Palestine under the British. And then he became in 1948 the chief rabbi, the Sephardic chief rabbi. He was the Sephardic chief rabbi until 1953 when he died. He wrote many important shuvos and he discusses this topic and he tells the story. And this is amazing. Amazing, amazing. Says Rabbi Uziel, Bioti Misharet Bakodesh, Beir Ve'im Beisrael Salonika. When I was a rabbi in Salonika, he says, Yibane Aleinu Amein, means it should be rebuilt. Nishalti, I was asked, Imefshar Lahakshir, Tfilat Hagiyoret, Shelo B'Ma'amad Beiti. I was asked if you could allow for a woman to convert even if the Beit Din is not there. And he explains the situation in Salonika. Ki heyot u'mikva tahara nimtza b'merchatzaot Shelo Yehudim. The mikvah was in the bathhouse, okay? It was the bathhouse where there were Jewish and non-Jewish women. Ubo mitrachatzot tamid, gam nashim lo yehudiyot. And there are women who bathe there who are not Jewish. Viziluta gedola hi lebeitin likadeis b'merchatzeh. It's a humiliation for the Beit Din to go in such a bathhouse. And not only is it bad for the Beit Din, but can you imagine what everyone will say about them? He says, and they looked upon me to fix this, to fix it going forward. That the immersion of the Gioret could take place not in front of a Beit Din. He says, I realize that their request was an emergency. And therefore, I accepted upon myself to clarify this halacha. And then he goes on, he goes through the halacha, and at the end he says, Hoil v'beis ha-merchad shebo ha-mikva nimtzeis tamid, nashim she-misrachat zos bo. He says, since we're in a bathhouse where women are, you know, undressed all the time, v'amidat beitin al yedei atovelet goremet lazut svatayim mitzad hanashim hamitrachatzot, and the fact that a Beit Din would be there would cause people to say bad things about the Beit Din. U'mitzad hakahal b'hoil, u'mitzad hadin v'hamosar lo hutar l'chol adam, and since it's inappropriate for the men to be in such a place, Umikol shekei the rabbanei Yisrael, of course rabbis, likadis etoch merchat shel nashim b'shashem mitrachatzot, shirei gam b'giyoret atzman nashim moshivot otav amayim al tzavara, v'adayanim mibachutz. Because even in a giyoret, the Gemara says v'hadayanim bachutz, that the judges are outside. He says, that's just a quote from the Rambam. And that's what you pointed out, the woman who made the comment in the class. You see, they're in the room when she goes to the mikvah, but they're not allowed to look. Not beforehand and not afterwards. If she's not dressed properly. And it's inappropriate, right? If they won't intend to, but they'll see her undressed. It'd be terrible. And therefore, it's impossible. You can't have the tefillah in front of a bez, at least in Salonika. And therefore, I say that she can immerse in the betin, even not immerse in the mikvah, even without the bet. And if I can find something that's even better, Yisraeliot, lifnei betin. He says there should be three women there. Ubetin yodiu la mitzvos kalos v'chamuros v'anshon kedinu kalacha. The men tell her the mitzvos. V'acharei kabalata o mitzvot yitzavu alea shetelech tekef im hanashim she'ata bebetin. She goes with the women. Litvo b'fneia b'tor shlichut betin. U'lishem kabalata yahadut. Then she goes with the women into the mikvah. And the women will instruct her when she goes into the mikvah. Of them, however, there were some who opposed this. Who was the chief rabbi, the Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel. That the situation has changed, and there's no question that we need to do it this way. Says Rabbi Uziel, that he had a situation in Salonika where the mikvah was in the bathhouse. Says it's impossible. You can't have men there, right? It's embarrassing, especially for rabbis. It's embarrassing. They can't go into the mikvah room. They can't go into the bathhouse, into the club where there are women, Jews and non-Jews who are bathing. So he says that you learn from that Rambam, even though the Rambam says the men are in the room, but they don't see the woman going into the mikvah. And therefore he says, if they don't see the women going into the mikvah, there's no reason for them to be in the room, and they do not have to be in the room. Then he adds one little piece at the end, and he says, maybe having three women would be even better. That's interesting what the role of the three women is exactly. The three women are not themselves a betin, because women are not allowed to create a betin. Might be that the three women are representatives of the three men. But that, by the way, is a remarkable tshuva. That tshuva allows the men to be outside of the mikvah. Now, he writes the tshuva in a very specific situation, where it would be embarrassing for the men to be in the mikvah room because it's part of the bathhouse. It's not entirely clear if there's a private mikvah, would he want the men in the room or not? That's not clear from Rabbi Avadzhi Yosef. And therefore, I want to conclude the class and conclude the series by looking at something that was written by Rabbanit Michal Tikhachinsky. Rabbanit Tikhachinsky is one of the leading female halachic authorities in the religious Zionist Orthodox world in Israel. She teaches in Migdal Oz. She teaches in Herzog. She runs the Beit Midrash for women in Herzog. She's an amazing scholar and an amazing person. And she wrote an article several years ago. I'll tell you that around the crisis with Rabbi Barry Freundel, it's worse than a crisis, the tragedy around Rabbi Barry Freundel. There were three articles written on this topic about whether men need to be in the mikvah. The first article was written by Rabbanit Tikhachinsky. The second article was written by Rabbi Ethan Tucker of Hadar, and the third article was written by Rabbi Jeffrey Fox of Maharat. And each one of them are interesting. They use the sources we use, but each one of them are interesting and obviously are responding to a need within the community following that tragedy. I want to read just the end of Rabbanita Kaczynski's tshuva, the non-halachic part. And I think you'll find it, as I did, very striking. She writes like this. Now, she writes in Hebrew, but I helped you out and gave it to you in English. There is a clear tendency not to support the position of the rabbis who make conversion procedures difficult. B, the perception of modesty is becoming strong. Women prefer to be examined by female doctors rather than by male doctors. Some women are looking for the opportunity to immerse themselves alone and not with a female attendant in the room, who in their opinion violates their intimacy. Even in a case of nida, there is a greater general and halachic awareness of the value of human dignity. All of this indicates that we should return to the procedure proposed here. That's Rabbi Uziel's procedure, that women should supervise women, while the Dayanim will check the acceptance of the commandments near the conversion, means right before the conversion. This procedure is completely a priori and not retrospectively. That means that it's lechatchila, it's preference, and not just b'diyeh. It is important for me to note, this is the best paragraph of all, that my objection to the question of modesty in the conversion status before the Dayanim is not based on a survey of female converts. And I certainly did not ask the female converts whose modesty and dignity have been trampled on beyond what is reasonable. My response is based on a basic question that I ask myself. Do I see myself in a mikvah covered only with a robe, even if it is sealed, while three men stand above me? My resolute answer is no. This answer is based on the understanding of the concept of modesty of a simple Jewish woman like me. The fact that most converts are silent does not indicate anything except perhaps their apprehension and fear and their strong desire to accept the seal of kashrus of the Jewish people without question. Our role, rabbis, is to act according to the halacha. Here I would like to argue that if there is a way for women to observe women immerse, I do not see the reason why men are permitted to do so. Now, that's actually remarkable. It's remarkable, of course, because she talks so strongly, but she basically says that I can't imagine that there's any reason at all for men to be in the room. It's compromising women's dignity and women's standard of modesty in the 21st century. And therefore, she says that women need to be supervised by women and men should not be in the mikvah room. She takes Rabbi Uziel and she says that not only is that for a case where the mikvah happens to be in the bathhouse, that's in all cases. And it's got to be that way because we can't compromise the woman's dignity and the woman's sneaks. Now, let me just take a minute before we finish. I saw that there were a number of questions here, so let me take the questions. A female convert is going to the mikvah. One minute. She's married. Isn't this hypothetical? Because, no, she went to the mikvah. Some women went to the mikvah even if they weren't married to Jews. Isn't this hypothetical? Because in both Christian and Muslim countries, it was against the law to convert to Judaism. Correct. That's a question for another time. Rambam wrote a letter to Avadja the Gera during a period where conversion out of Islam carried a death penalty. So it appears Moshe is good. So let me just answer this, then I'll take your live questions. The question of who converted in the medieval period is an interesting question. Not for now, but that is an interesting question. You're right that conversion was not allowed, but there still were some converts. Not many, but some converts. Questions.
How do you spell her name, the Rabbanit's name?
Tkaczynski. T-I-K-O-C-H-I. T-I-K-O. Chinsky. C-H-I-N-S-K-Y. Michal Tikhachinsky. You can Google her and find her. She's a remarkable woman.
Thank you. And what was, I came late, so I don't know what you were referring to when you spoke about the tragedy that happened with Rabbi Frendel.
Rabbi Frendel was caught spying on women in the changing room and in the mikvah. Mm. And he went to jail for it. And that caused a reassessment of the way that the conversions were done and the place of the male betin in the mikvah. Okay, any other questions?
Is this related to the fact that, like, say, in the Skokie, Chicago area, the YU Kollel has women who deal with the Nida questions of, is this staying?
Absolutely. Yoatzot halacha, that's exactly what Rabbanit Michal is talking about. Very good. Okay, very good. It's responding to the same need. It's not the same thing because this is conversion, but it's responding to the same need. Absolutely. Any other questions? We have a last question for the series.
Excellent series. Thank you very
much. Thank you so much. This has been a treat, everybody. Thank you.
Best I've ever heard.
Purim Sameach. Happy Purim, everybody. And I look forward to my next series together with you. Learn well. Enjoy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.